Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
My name is Tim Barton. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, I'm the lead pastor here. I'd like to meet you after the service if you're available for that. We've been in a series here on the kingdom of God. And as I start this morning, I'm going to take you back to when my kids, my oldest is a freshman in college now, when my oldest was around seven, my middle one was around five, and we had been here a little bit of time, and I decided that, okay, the boys were like, Dad, can we play basketball? I'm like, yeah, we can play basketball. So we went over and we registered for basketball at a church, and the church was like, hey, that is great. We're so glad you're here. Do you want to coach? I said, sure, I'll coach. They're like, listen, the teams are even. It's okay. It'll be fine. And I don't know if you've ever watched 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds play basketball. It's one of the most excruciating things to watch, actually. It's painful because usually people, you know, at that age, they're just trying to maybe get it up to the basket. It's an 8-foot basket. We lower it, and they still can't get it up there, and it's just painful. The scores are usually like 6-2 by the end of the game. But I said, I'll coach. We're practicing. We were not looking very good. One of the other dads looked at me and said, we're not going to win any games. And I'm like, it'll be fine. We're just going to, you know, it's fine. Well, we get to the first game, and the teams were mostly even, except for that other coach's son. He was taller than everybody else. He was fast. He could dribble, and he could shoot. And so at halftime, the score was 20-4. I'm like, great. So I pull the boys aside. I'm like, I'm the motivator. I'm the rah-rah guy. You know, I pull them aside. I'm like, all right, boys, listen, that's okay. Here's what we're going to work on. We're going to do this. And don't give up. Don't give up. I mean, I know it's 20-4. It's fine. The game's not over. Don't give up. We proceed into the second half, about halfway through the third quarter. Not the fourth quarter, the third quarter. It's now 31-4. And one little boy sitting on the bench, he like pulls on my shorts. I'm like, what in the world? I turn around. He goes, hey, coach, can we give up now? I share that because often as we walk through life, we are going to have moments where we tap on Jesus and say, can we give up now? You know, this kingdom thing, living in your kingdom, Lord, this is hard. Can we just kind of give up now and just let you do your thing and we'll just kind of be there? But today in our passage, and I think what Jesus has been doing throughout Matthew 13 that we've been looking at in these last few weeks, Jesus is saying, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. No matter what you're facing right now, don't lose hope. No matter how insignificant the kingdom looks right now, don't lose hope. And so we're going to look at that together, Matthew 13. This is a short one this week. It's only verses 31 through 33. Matthew 13, 31 through 33. And this is God's word. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. So again, I think the paraphrase of what Jesus is saying here to the disciples is, and the reason he's telling this is, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. And so I want to show you 2 points from this passage. The first one is this. The kingdom appears insignificant. Often the kingdom of God on this earth appears insignificant. Jesus uses 2 analogies here. You picked up on them as I was reading it. The first is the mustard seed in verse 31, and then it's the leaven in verse 33. The mustard seed a man takes, sows in the field. Mustard, the leaven is hidden in 3 measures of flour. Now, I want you to keep in mind as we do this, that as we talk about this, that the disciples are thinking the kingdom of heaven is going to be something much different. We've talked about this in different ways the last few weeks, but if the disciples are thinking back to what they know of God's work and his promises to the people of Israel and the way things were, what kind of kingdom do you think they might have been looking for? What, one like David's kingdom. One like Solomon's kingdom. Something grand, majestic, mighty. That they were looking for that type of thing, that type of kingdom. They were looking for victories, for triumph, for God's reign on the earth now. And so Jesus has been redefining for them what the kingdom looks like. We've said this definition multiple times, or every week, but our definition for that, our working definition, is that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that is seen with the realization of God's rule and the submission to God's reign in the hearts and lives of his people. So again, it's not a country, it's not a place, it's not a location. It's come through Jesus. And from the disciples' vantage point, Jesus is saying, I want to help you understand that the kingdom is going to appear insignificant at times. And I want you to understand that because I don't want you to lose hope. Now, do we understand how radical that is right now? Like, at the time Jesus said this to the disciples, hey, by the way, you think this is going to happen in the kingdom? It was radical for him to be telling them, no, you've got that wrong. And if you keep having it wrong, you're going to lose hope. Let me correct this for you. Let me teach you what this is going to be like. That's what Jesus is doing here. Both the examples appear insignificant in their own way. Verse 32 says that the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. Now, if I say that, pause on that for just a minute. Mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. Okay, is that true? Some would argue that that is not true. Some would say, haven't you ever seen an orchid seed? It's smaller than a mustard seed. Well, here's what I want you to know. Scientifically, the mustard seed is not the smallest, but in the context that Jesus was speaking to those in Palestine, the smallest seed they would know of would be the mustard seed. And so he's describing it in that way. Don't let those silly little things trip us up when we're looking at God's word. Right? Jesus said, no, this is what they would know, this is what they would plant. So this is the smallest of all seeds in that regard. And if you've ever looked at a mustard seed on the tip of your finger, it's very underwhelming. Right? It's really small, not much to see. And then the leaven that he talks about, he's like, it's unseen. You can't even see it. It's not something you see when it once is mixed in with the flour. But he's saying it grows and it works slowly as it does so. It will leaven the whole loaf. I do want to make a quick comment. Later in Matthew 16:6, Jesus says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And when he's saying that, right, he's not talking about the same leaven. Sometimes people get tripped up on that a little bit. The leaven of the Pharisees is, he uses the same analogy, once it's in this false teaching that seems like it might be good teaching, it kind of creeps in and slowly infiltrates. And he's saying, beware that, root that out, don't let that happen, right? That's not what he's saying here. Here he's using leaven as a good thing. And he's talking about leaven as the kingdom spreading. And so Jesus is telling the disciples at this time in this passage that we see, and us now, again, the kingdom appears insignificant. So don't lose hope. It looks like God's people might not be having the impact we thought we would have. But that might be because at times, we're finding our hope in what we can see. Jesus is encouraging and admonishing the disciples. When you walk through what's coming, it's going to seem like there is nothing good happening. Guys, when you walk through what's coming, it's going to seem like things are falling apart around you. It's going to feel like you have put all your hope in something that is giving you and this world very little benefit. But don't overemphasize what you can see right now. or what you can't see. Don't put too much hope in the visible. Yes, there are evidences of his kingdom. We'll talk about that in a minute. But don't put too much hope there. In fact, I think Jesus is showing that placing our hope in the visible can give us a false sense of comfort. Placing our hope in the invisible, or not. Anyway, let me just keep going. Think about Jesus for a minute and the way he talked, okay, and his life on earth. Could Jesus draw a crowd? Yeah. It's like he did miracles. People showed up. They wanted to see what was happening. He would teach them, like, who is this guy? And they would show up. And then when they showed up, Jesus made them feel really comfortable and just great about themselves, right? No, he said things like this. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am God. Exclusively, I am the only hope. Or he said things like this. I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in me. Say what, Jesus? So he was making exclusive claims and things that seemed outlandish. It's truth. And people fled. The crowds left. The big crowd was never the point for Jesus. Being popular wasn't what he was about. Being truthful and drawing people into surrender and submission to him was what he was about. Pastor theologian J.C. Ryle comments on this. He says, Christianity was a religion which seemed at first so feeble and helpless and powerless that it could not live. Its first founder, Jesus, ended his life by dying the death of a criminal on a cross. Its first adherents were a little company whose number probably did not exceed 1,000. Its first preachers were a few fishermen who were most of them unlearned and ignorant men. If ever there was a religion which was a little grain of seed at the beginning, that religion was the gospel. And this idea is a struggle for us as well when we think about how we can see or how we expect to see God's kingdom now. See, if this rings true, we live in a culture that says bigger is better. Most of the time in most things. And that mentality, it affects every area of our lives. It impacts everything in our lives, including the church. And it can be very misleading for us to judge everything on what we see or everything on people's response to that. And we're called to remain faithful even though we can't see the final outcome. Notice when Jesus says the leaven will be seen. Does it say when the bread's half leavened it'll be seen? No, it says when it's fully leavened. And that's why walking with Jesus takes faith. We will fully see his kingdom when the time has fully come. We'll talk about that just a little bit more in a minute. But we also have, and we have to have the faith to believe and ask God for the faith to believe that right now, as followers of Jesus, those trusting in Jesus who lived the perfect life, died the death on the cross that we deserve, rose to defeat the power of sin, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have that right now. And so we're asking for faith to believe there is leaven in the bread, so to speak. Faith to believe that God is revealing his kingdom in the hearts and lives of his people and he's going to keep doing so. And we begin to trust in our lives as God continues to reveal his truth to us, as we continue to surrender to him, as he's showing us in his word. As all that happens, the gospel, his kingdom will continue growing in us. It will continue growing to permeate how much of our lives? What parts of our lives? All of them. Now, that's why we say often, we can't say, God, I want you to deal with this part of my life and this part of my life and this part of my life and this part of my life. But that part of my life over there, nope, I'm going to hold on to that. That's off limits, God. The good news is, if you're a follower of him, he's not going to let you do that. And yet he calls us actively as well to surrender every area of our lives to him. It will be happening. This will be happening as we surrender. It will be happening in the lives of Jesus that the gospel will permeate every area. So keep running to Jesus in prayer. Keep asking him to grow our faith. Ask him by his Spirit to impact every area of your life. It feels scary to ask that, because you know what we have to do when we ask that? We have to let go of control. Well, the good news is you don't have it anyway. I don't have it anyway. We let go of control and we ask him. And then we come to our second point in the passage. Even when we say that the kingdom appears insignificant, and understanding that helps people not to lose hope, as we've just been saying, Jesus also demonstrates in this passage that the kingdom will be seen. It's going to be seen along the way by those around us. It's going to be seen, fully seen in the end. And so let's look at those two things. Because it seems like when you first read this, well, Jesus is just teaching the same thing through these two examples, through the mustard seed and the leaven, and he just says it twice in two different ways to get focus on that. And that, I think that's part of it. And there is that similarity that we've already shared. They both teach not to lose hope, even though the kingdom appears insignificant. But I think there's a slight difference in how Jesus talks about the kingdom between these two things as well. And I think we see that difference when we talk about the kingdom being seen. Okay, so the kingdom will first be seen by those around us. And I think we see that with the mustard seed. It says in verse 32, the middle part of that, so the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. So, mustard seed, kingdom, right? Excuse me. You remember the analogy we've used is that it's a cloudy day, an overcast day. Is the sun there? Yes, and that represents the kingdom. The kingdom is there. The kingdom is not going anywhere. Sometimes that light breaks through the clouds in a ray of light. Sometimes it breaks through in bigger sections. But the kingdom is there and the kingdom will be shown. The kingdom will continue in that sense to come. It will be seen, right? The mustard seed is kind of showing the same thing here. The mustard seed will grow into a tree. You know how big a mustard tree is? It's like 8 to 12 feet on average, sometimes up to 15 feet. Now, for us, with majestic oak trees and pine trees and stuff around here, that doesn't seem that big. In the region, what we're talking about here, that's a pretty big tree with a pretty significant source of shade and help in where it's planted, where it is. And so, Jesus is saying here, the kingdom will grow. We won't be able to see it all the time. We won't be able to see it immediately, but it will grow. How many of you have ever planted tulip bulbs? Yeah, a few of you. Just in case you don't know, you plant those in November, October, November, sometime in there. And then when do they come up? In the spring. Well, when my little buddy over here was 3 years old or so, we went out and we planted tulip bulbs down. Somebody had given them to me. We planted tulip bulbs down around the mailbox. We watered them together and everything. And then I went to mow grass, and normally when I was mowing grass, he would follow me around with his little mower. But I'm mowing for a little bit, and I kind of look up like, where's Nathan? And I see Nathan down sitting on the driveway next to the mailbox looking at the ground we had watered. I went, oh, okay. So I go down there. I said, what you doing, buddy? Waiting for the flowers. You know, it's like that as we watch the kingdom growth. We're sitting and we're looking. And we're waiting on the flowers sometimes. And we don't always see it day by day, moment by moment, in certain seasons. But the flowers are coming. The flowers will be seen. Seeing it takes time. It can be slow, but we will see it. You know, when I think about things taking time, I think about our missionaries, Trey and Kiki Adams in Thailand. Trey and Kiki have been there a long time. They are faithfully loving people, getting to know their neighbors, inviting people into their home, faithfully teaching the Word of God when they have opportunity, demonstrating and sharing the gospel, and that work is really slow. But the kingdom can be seen. It is shining forth as they do that and as others do come to faith. Or I think about Radiant Life and Ravi Mandati, who's helping us reach out to the Indian community here. It can be slow, but God is doing things. His kingdom will shine forth. It will come. Let me give some other examples that may resonate. Watching God slowly change the heart of your spouse. Seeing Him work in the life of a wayward child. Or just a child growing up in your home that you think, can we get through tomorrow? People growing in a desire and willingness to be discipled. It's slow. It takes time. People confessing sin. People praying for and with one another. People willing to know and to be known. People not settling for the world's view of marriage and not content with what our culture says success in life looks like. You realize these are all evidences of God's Spirit at work, growing the kingdom in our hearts. They're things that can be seen. Maybe not moment by moment, but as the days and seasons pass by, they will be seen. And here's what's amazing. As they're seen, as that shines forth, that will be a blessing to those around true followers of Jesus as well. Notice at the end of verse 32, Jesus speaks of the mustard seed as a blessing. It says all this happens so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. It provides a place for the birds of the air to come and to nest. Now, again, I don't think this is an accident. If you go back to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus uses, it's Matthew chapter 6 actually, Jesus uses the birds of the air. And when he's talking about being anxious, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Okay? Using the same analogy of birds again, he's showing that as the kingdom grows, right, it is a blessing and it's even a place that the birds have to come and to rest and to find shelter, to find care, to find protection. The kingdom is a blessing. It's a blessing. And it blesses those around us. And as people benefit from seeing the kingdom, that's also good for us. Because one, it reminds us that God's working. But it's also good for us because as long as God chooses to remain patient, as long as there are people out there who still need to come to faith in Jesus, then while God's people realize and surrender to His reign in our lives, as we are intent on living the way that God says is good, that restrains sin in the world. And that is a blessing to those around us. It's a protection from what things will be if a society completely abandons all that God says is good for us. As His kingdom comes in our hearts, as that shines forth, that is a blessing to those around us. And so the growth of the kingdom is a blessing to those around us right now. It will be a much bigger blessing soon, relatively. But it's a blessing right now. And we see it as we see the way that Christians interact differently in this world. We see it as we see Christians choosing to live governed by God's word, and that being the thing that is our focal point, it's our primary, it is the thing that guides our lives. Just very openly, I'm going to tell you, that we need to be on guard in our own hearts. And let me just tell you a subtle way this kind of thing creeps in. I see over and over again the church wanting to define ourselves as, well, we are Republican Christians or we are Democrat Christians. No. We are Christians, united by the work of Jesus Christ. That's an example that hits pretty close to home for many of us. And I'm not commenting on anything else about being involved in or anything like that. I just want to make sure we get the point. The uniting factor for us is that we are united in the work of Jesus and what he has done. It's a blessing to others as we see Christians seek to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. His kingdom looks different. And as we individually are part of this spiritual kingdom, and let me say this, the church doesn't always look different, but his kingdom looks different. All right? As followers of Jesus together live in this world, it should make an impact. It should be a blessing to the world around us. Doesn't mean life's always going to be easy. It doesn't mean that comfort and security are our goal. Our goal is to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit, to live as Christ has called us to live, to exemplify what it looks like to surrender to what Jesus says is good and right and stand firm in that. And we do all that whether circumstances are good or circumstances are really bad. But as we think about our own lives, are we submitting to God's rule and reign in our lives and surrendering and submitting to Jesus and his way? Are we actively doing that? It's easy to talk about on Sunday morning. It's a lot harder to talk about in the day-to-day or to put into practice. But when we do, it stands out. When we do, it offers hope to the world around us. Y'all, marriages struggle all around the world. Hope says our marriage is struggling, but we're looking to one who can strengthen us and walk us through this. Children struggle all around the world. Being in God's kingdom says there is something to offer to our children that the world cannot give. I could go on and on. It stands out. It will cause the kingdom to be seen. And it'll help us to look to the truth and the hope that the kingdom will be fully seen when Jesus comes. That's what we see with the leaven in verse 33. It's invisible as it works in the flour, right? We don't realize it's there. It's often hidden. And when some of the flour, or leaven gets through the flour, or all the leaven gets through the flour, when all the leaven gets through, the beauty will be seen fully. Jesus saying, yes, there will be blessings of the kingdom along the way on this earth, but it will not be fully seen until all is leavened, until all have come to faith, those who will believe. When that happens, the kingdom will be fully realized. So don't lose hope. And so to the disciples and subsequently to us, saying, don't be deceived by outward evidences. It's going to get worse before it gets better, guys. And in this room, all of us. To the disciples, he's saying, when you see me on that cross, it may look like my kingdom's insignificant. Back to the Ryle quote. But it may look like I've lost. It may look like we've lost, but we haven't. Actually, that's the victory. Because I've said, when I go to the cross, Satan cannot win. Because I've taken the punishment This is evidence, full evidence of victory. This is the glorious benefit of what I've accomplished. And when I return, you will see me fully. My kingdom will be fully seen. All that's broken will be restored. And I want to leave you with this morning. Comes later in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12, 28, applying this very thing. And it says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom. I want you to say this phrase out loud with me. For receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. It is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so we worship. By the way, do all of you every day feel like worshiping God? Or every moment of every day feel like worshiping God? There are a few of you in this room that I think that's probably mostly true. Right? But there are times when my alarm clock goes off at 5:30 in the morning or whenever that may be that I'm like, you know, it would be nice to sleep just a little bit longer. Worshiping God, part of that is a discipline. And for those of us who grew up kind of in the era of if you don't feel it, don't do it kind of thing, disciplines can be hard. But worship of God is, part of that is a discipline. And that we're saying, I need that. I need to come and to worship and have awe because I have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I need to remember who my God is. Then there's the coming on Sunday mornings. Why on Sunday mornings? Because we gather together, and what do? We help one another when we don't feel like it. Come and worship in awe. And look to Him. Why? Not just because it kind of makes us feel good for a little bit, but because we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and we've got to look to Jesus, the King. So as I close, I want to ask you to pray this prayer. Today, for this week, it's similar to other things we ask. But Lord, give us faith to believe that your kingdom cannot be shaken. Will you pray this morning that he'll renew that faith? If you have it and you're like, well, I've got that right now, then pray that he will help you demonstrate that, that'll be contagious, that others will see it. Because some in this room struggle with that right now. Some who don't now will at other times. Lord, give us faith to believe that your kingdom cannot be shaken. And when you're putting faith in other things, if he shows that to you right now, repent of that too. And then we'll come to the Lord's table together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today that we are part of, as followers of you, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And Lord, as we have acknowledged places in our hearts where we're looking to all sorts of things that can be shaken for our hope, for our comforts, for our security, Lord, we are reminded from the truth of your word that when we come, when we confess our sin before you, when we ask you to seek our hearts and you show it, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we say thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.